Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now, let's find out what's going on. Dave Anthony is a member of the Natural Resources Commission, and he's joining us here this morning. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We have a little bit of snow this week. Winter has returned.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm glad for that. I've been out walking in the woods with my dog for exercise down the road in front of my place, and I see every now and then a partridge, a rough grouse. And
you scare them up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And they're just so out of place with no snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And with cold, you know, if we do get cold, they don't have any snow. It's not good for them. They are snowbirds. They need it.
Last weekend, I almost felt like I had to do some yard work or something.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Somebody goes, boy, it can change overnight. I went, literally, overnight.
And I noticed...
We got a blanket of snow.
And I noticed on the highway a lot of possums, dead possums on the side of the road.
Yeah. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, as a bird hunter, I know they eat eggs. So, they were never around here when I was a kid. They've popped up in my adulthood,
mm-hmm.
and so I see them as a bad invasive species. So, trap them all.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm glad you're able to at least get the dog out before the snow here. It obviously changes the landscape a little bit. And, of course, we've been talking about ice out here on the bay and what that means for fishermen. And even with the cold temperatures here going into the weekend, it can still be pretty iffy out there.
In fact, yeah.
I saw open water in the harbor of the Gladstone Lagoon area. So,
well,
I'm
wondering if since we did have a freeze-over,
mm-hmm.
short period freeze over, and people were catching perch, and then it thawed. I didn't get out. I had an invitation, but it thawed before I could get out. I'm wondering if it freezes again, if those perch will be biting it.
Oh, I'm sure. They always do. You just have to be above them. That's it, right? You had your meeting last week, the NRC. You were in Lansing, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues that you dealt with was bear regulations. With the population of bears increasing both in the upper and lower peninsula, the DNR is looking at making small changes.
Yeah, there will be some very minimal changes. It may be controversial in that the department has implemented a harvest schedule based on recommendations from the forum, which is the bear forum that met last year, and they will be meeting again
in August,
and we take their recommendations very, very seriously. As a result of the harvest has been good, on target for the most part. A couple of variations, a little higher in some areas and lower in other areas, but overall the harvest targets have been on the within the ballpark, close enough to make it work. And so we're very pleased I am very pleased that the bear management is being done well.
10,218 bears in 2022 in the Upper Peninsula, a 21% increase since 2012.
Yep, and the bear sizes seem to be getting bigger too.
Okay.
So that's exactly what we want. We want more harvest. We want people to have more opportunity and to be successful, and they want bigger bears too, so it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, the DNR says the goal is to continue to increase the bear population, but at a slower rate, by increasing harvest slightly.
Yeah, they don't want too many bears. You know, it's a management thing, We have the control over the harvest, but not the management. So that we try to work.
Well, that's part of management.
It is. Yeah. So we try to create a working relationship with the department, so that we know what they're doing, and then we can react. We can work together. We're not reacting to one another. We're working together, and we, I believe, have made a great stride towards that. This year is the first year that we, the commission, members for me, for instance, myself and the Wildlife Committee attended the department's, the DNR's management meeting, annual meeting, where they put all of their ideas out, review them as a group, and comment. And we were there as observers, so I can see the process. That's very helpful.
Well, the Lower Peninsula may have all the deer compared to the UP, but we have all the bears compared to the Lower Peninsula. They tallied 2,008 bears in 2022, but that was up 55% since 2012.
Yeah.
And their goal is to slow the population growth to eventually achieve a stable population. I saw that and I was like, I didn't quite understand. What does that mean?
Yeah, I wonder.
Okay. I don't know if they talked about it or not.
Yeah, no, not, you know, they did a little bit, but, you know, there is a bigger concern about people-bear interaction. There's a bigger concern about people-wildlife interaction below the bridge because there's a bigger population. A much bigger population.
So they showed on the map where it's kind of concentrating in 2011 and then expanding to the west part of the northern Lower Peninsula by 2021.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're showing expansions there. So I guess stable, if you have a growing population and you want a stable one, it's been going upwards. It's been down recently, but I guess maybe that's what they're referring to, because it was a little higher a couple of years ago. But I guess, you know, what does it mean by having a stable population?
Right.
Because it didn't seem to be an issue.
No, it doesn't. And the commission, the department has a number of factors that they work, the number of factors that drive their mission. Whereas the commission is very conscientious of all those. But we really want to see good hunt seasons. I mean, that is it's not the only thing that we look at, but that is a big thing that we look at.
Yeah, they look at hunter effort, hunter success rates, and hunter opinion, which is your area. They also look at the square miles that bears were harvested in, nuisance bear complaints, and habitat and mast, the ability to be able to eat. 1,854 bears were harvested statewide in 2023. That was 3% below the previous year, which was 1,905. 9% above the 10-year average, so that continues that upward trend. And very good success rate, it says, in the eastern UP. A lot of bears there.
Yeah, there are a lot of bears there.
Okay.
A lot of mast trees. That's one of the key components of a good, healthy, and that's why you're seeing the bear population expand below the bridge. They have a lot more oaks, and this year was a very good year for oaks, and those two really interrelate.
Just looking at some of the numbers that they have listed here, kind of interesting. Nobbin or Newberry has 392 bears harvested in 2023, 30 tribal ones. So that had the most of anywhere in the state.
Yeah.
Berglin in the western UP had 217 bears. Kearney here in the central UP reported 133 bears. Berriga, these are the DNR places, they're doing it from that region. Berriga had 282 bears. Amasa, 170. So a lot of bears here in the Upper Peninsula.
And I had the...
I forgot Gwynn, 212.
And I ran across a list of the size of the bears that were harvested in the Kearney region, and I was very, very impressed. There are some really big bears being harvested. In fact, I was so interested in it that I took a picture, and I'm reading down here, and there are one bear was 550 pounds.
Wow.
Another bear was 655 pounds. Another bear was 535 pounds. Another was 402 pounds. 545 pounds. That's some, th- those are some big bears.
Yes, I would want to be hauling them out of the woods. You need something mechanical to get them going, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And or to gut it even.
Yeah, yeah. And then to skin it, because you got to get that hide off right away.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. That's kind of work for people who are younger than me.
If you have dogs, you'll have a better success rate hunting bear. They had a 57% success rate. Bait-only hunters had a 38% success rate in 2022. Yet, most of the bears taken were taken over bait. 85% of those taken were taken by bait. 9% relied primarily on dogs alone or a combination of baiting and dogs. Most hunters relied, of course, on bait only.
Yeah, most of the hunters I know hunt primarily with bait, and you know, it's a good time of the year to be in the woods. Fun time.
This was surprising. The success rate of hunters that hired a guide, 55%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess I didn't realize hiring bear hunting guides was a big thing.
Yeah, well, you know, when depending on the type that you're doing, too, I mean, you can hire a bear guide with dogs, you can hire a bear guide with bait, yeah. And because they know the area, because they're working the area year-round, so people who want to shoot a bear who...
Oh, from outside the area?
Yeah, outside okay. the area, they come in, and the guide knows where everything is. It's their job.
Sure.
They're good at it.
14% of the hunters hired a guide, so 732 hunters did.
Yeah.
5,844 people bought a bear license, which was a 27% decrease over the previous year.
Yeah, we're having a problem with hunting decline. Not as bad this past year as we've seen, but it's still there's a decline in hunting that we are very concerned about.
Okay. UP bear harvest, state long-term average, 1,431. Got a sense on what that means? It looks like it's gone on an upward trend, but had been on a downward trend since 2007.
Yeah. The graph shows that it's targets, the goals and the targets are being met.
Okay.
Because you don't want to harvest too many bear in 1 year, because what they've found is that if you have spikes, peaks, and troughs and on the graph, then that perpetuates an uneven harvest over the years. And so if you hunt too heavily this year, you're going to have less harvest next year. And they want to get away from that.
They have another map here showing all the locations of the bear harvest. And it's amazing that it's spread through the entire Upper Peninsula. There's two concentrations when we've talked about Newberry and then over in the western UP. But otherwise, it's pretty evenly spread across the UP.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of interesting. All right. I don't know if there's anything else that we wanted to talk about on here. Estimated effort per bear, meaning the amount of times that hunters are in the woods. Well, that's a way going down on in
yep.
the Upper Peninsula
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it is. People, again, it's reflective of the time people hunt and the number of people hunting. Hunting is a sport that, for the most part, is people our ages. Younger people aren't getting into it like we hope. Hopefully that will change, but that's what we're dealing with.
They started making these numbers in 1990, and that was way high, and it dropped within a two-year period, and it stayed pretty much down there, and it's still on a downward trend.
Yeah.
Estimated percentage of successful hunters by year is actually going up, so it's going up despite less effort
yep.
in the woods.
Yeah.
Let me see. We have some bear locations. It looks like we got a lot of bears in the Marquette area, not a lot of hunting in that area for the UP.
Yeah.
So that's observations that people are reporting. Nuisance bears, 2023, it's actually been kind of stable here the last 5 years or so. The big spike was in 2017. I think that's when I had one in my backyard town.
And you can almost predict that depending on food availability.
Right, especially in the spring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So bear management goals, maintain a sustainable population within a biological carrying capacity, facilitate bear-related benefits, minimize bear-related conflicts, and conduct science-based and socially acceptable management. That's basic. right there. And that's basically Cody Norton's presentation to you.
Yep.
All right. Anything else on the bear report that you received?
I can't think of anything. Again, I just think that Cody and his folks are doing a really good job.
All right. Well, shall we then deal with antler point restriction guidelines? Because that was the other report that you had.
Yeah.
Chad Stewart gave this report. Anything they want to say about it?
What I repeat over and over is that if people want antler point restrictions, there's a process for it. You have to work with an organization that represents a particular regional area, and you have to do a survey. If that survey comes in, I believe it's 66% in favor of APRs, then APRs will be implemented. We have way too many people wanting APRs implemented by the Natural Resources Commission, going around the process that was established, and we do not want to tell people how to hunt when they have the ability to make that determination themselves.
In fact, Chad says there's four keys to successful APRs, and that's a willingness of the sponsoring parties to coordinate and support public information meetings, which is what you're talking about, support from both landowners and hunters, regulations understandable and enforceable, and sufficient trial period for the regulation to impact the herd structure.
And there's a lot of people, there's controversy here because a lot of people want APRs, they want all hunters to shoot big bucks. But on the other hand, I've known a lot of people over the years that want to shoot venison.
Right.
And
I like meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just had some venison Polish sausage the other day. Very good.
Made locally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded APR exemptions. You talk about group recommendations for junior hunters. So that would be those aged 10 to 16. And for all hunters who qualify for the independence hunt, and for all the apprentice license holders. So that's to give them, as you said, an easier opportunity to be able to get a deer.
Right, right.
All individuals exempt from the mandatory APRs, including the four-point rule on the restricted tag of the combination license during all hunting seasons. And that was something that you had passed recently. It says passed by the NRC.
Yeah.
You remember that?
We did. We do our deer regulations every couple of years, but we're kind of busting the norm by pursuing the Deer Management Initiative, because we're doing it right on the heels of the deer regulation approval for 2024. With the hopes that we can get some of these changes made before the full cycle occurs.
So they say the July 2020 resolution, department's APR guidelines are to stay at 66% approval rating until active research study is conducted in the CWD zone, which is concluded for 5 years, whichever is longer. No new surveys related to APRs until a CWD study is concluded, or 5 years, whichever is longer. And the DNR cannot revise guidelines without approval by the NRC, which is you, and proper public venting, comments, and transparency. So since we have no CWD in the UP anymore,
right?
At least that's what officially, then we're sitting pretty good.
Yeah, we are. For the most part, if people want APRs, they can petition, and the system is wide open. There's one exception that we're working on, and that is Deer Management Unit 122, which is the area where they did have CWD 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That area, before going into the CWD regulations, had APRs, and those APRs were established by the process. Locals decided that they wanted APRs. Once the CWD regulations were removed and the original rules were supposed to be reinstated, they did not reinstate the APRs over in that region. So we're looking at that to make sure that the regs go back to the fully the way they were prior to the CWD regulations being imposed, because that's what they were told, and we want to make sure that that happens.
You got a report on bear in the Upper Peninsula and Lower Peninsula, that those actions you would be taking next year for that. Fur bearer regulations is something that you're going to be handling here pretty shortly.
Yeah, yeah. Fur bearers is up, and we have a number of items, the first being that an item that does not have the recommendation of the department and is not likely to be approved by the Natural Resources Commission, and that's putting signs within 100 or 150 feet from traps when those traps are near roads, because that invites a lot of problems, because people steal traps.
There's a big problem of that here in the UP right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's just from those that aren't in favor of trapping that want those signs there or what.
Yeah, and there have been a few incidents where dogs have gotten into traps, and, you know, so it's like that's not likely to happen if your dog is on a leash. If your dog is a hunting dog and that happens, which is very rare, we rely on the rules for the traps. We had a demonstration few months back where a trapper brought in the traps, put his fingers right in the traps, it snapped, and the trap is designed to hold but not to hurt, so you can release it without damage. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're at right now, and we're willing to continue that process. We don't want to draw attention to people's equipment and cause conflict.
You also talked about the bobcat season dates here in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, we're changing the dates. Bobcat hunters in the UP have requested that the dates be changed. So we are going to change those dates to move them to earlier in the year, from December 1 to February 1 to October 25 to December 26. So that will be moved from the hunting season, the trapping season will begin in October until December 26th now. Previously, it was December to February.
I'm hearing that the bobcat population in the UP is very strong, and so that's one of the reasons that you're advocating a second bobcat for those on private land?
Yep. And I think that based on my conversations with people, if that works, then they'll expand it to public lands also. So two bobcats is a big step. Again, good management, being able to get to this point where the animals are available enough to take two.
When you're talking about Fisher and Martin, there could be a combined bag limit that you're looking at for that?
Yeah. Fisher and Martin trappers had been restricted to one animal each, but since they're using traps, and a lot of those traps are lethal. So if they catch an animal in a lethal trap, and they're small traps, but they're set in a way to keep other critters from getting in there, but if they catch their Martin, one Martin, and then they keep trapping and hoping to get a Fisher, and they get another Martin, then they're in trouble. Then they got to go through a lot of hoops. This will enable them to get two of each of, excuse me, two either or. So if you get set your traps out and you get two Martins, mm-hmm. You're done for the season with Martins. You can, you know, you're still okay if you got that Fisher in there also, and it's. You can invert that to say if you got two Fishers, and then you you're done with that. But if you got a Martin in the process, that's good too. So,
what's the deal that you're talking about with firearm use at night?
Yeah, that's primarily for coyote hunters and predator hunters. there are areas in the state of Michigan where the type of firearm that you use is restricted because of population. And over the years, that's been expanding to allow, types of firearms that are allowed in those areas are expanding. And this is pretty much reflective of that.
So you're able to use a centerfire firearm, meaning a rifle,
right,
in that area, the LFDZ?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You did talk extensively about coyote hunting and the season length.
Yeah, and that's been the big fight going on right now. And the background is that for quite some time there's been a push and shove within the predator call community and with trappers over when coyote's season should end. Now, right now it goes 24 months a year. But because of a number of factors, including the posting on social media of harvested mother coyotes with pups and the backlash that has had and can have, a number of people who have been involved in public policy regarding hunting and fishing, trapping, have been strongly advocating for closing the season, like all other seasons, from April 15th until July 15th. There's two arguments. The one is that you don't want activity in the woods during that season because that's when all the young and the nesting occurs, and so that's one good scientific reason. The other is that when people post pictures of harvested shot coyotes with or trapped coyotes with pups, it really does feed into the anti-hunting community. So they have requested on and off over the years closure of the season, and it's on the agenda for this coming month. I anticipate that we will close the season, but that's just the season for it does not affect any private land nuisance issues. So if you are hunting on private lands, you cannot harvest coyotes under this proposal.
Okay.
You will not be able to harvest during the pupping season, which is April 15th through July 15th. That does not take away anybody's right to shoot coyotes on their property if they deem it necessary.
You get public comment at all of your meetings, and generally they talk on the different subjects. Do you get anybody talking on this? They're coyote hunters?
Yeah, we did. We had.
What is their feeling?
We had some very strong feelings expressed at the last meeting from both sides. And I would say that the high ground is been staked out by the people who want to close the season for 3 months. Those are the people that I was around when Proposal G was passed, and I was around when the SALTs were presented in ballot initiative form on hunting, and particularly bear hunting, back in the 90s. And I've noticed that most of the people involved in this issue who want to close the season have a strong, they strongly remember that those campaigns to maintain hunting and fishing in Michigan through the ballot initiative on Proposal G and bear hunting, etc.
Excuse me for not knowing this, but can you trap all year round for coyotes as well right now?
I believe you can. Yeah.
So would this regulation affect trapping then as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm reading this graph right here. It says proportion of estimated coyote harvest. In the UP, it's 11%. Compared to the northern Lower Peninsula at 43 and the southern Lower Peninsula at 46, am I reading something wrong here?
No, I think you're reading it right. And
so most coyotes are taken downstate.
I would, based on the presentation that we had, yeah, and again, it would be based on
Because of the nuisance down there?
Yeah, in development.
Okay.
In development. You know, we're very fortunate. We have big stretches of wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
And they have less and less all the time down there.
Which is why we have all the bears.
That's why we have all the bears.
They need the land mass, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about from the meeting before we get into the Deer Management Initiative?
Let me double check on my trapping issues, and I think we've got those covered.
Okay, so those regulations with the fur bearer regulations will be handled by you handled them here in the February meeting, but also then now coming up in March, right?
Right, okay. Right. The process is that they are presented to the commission by the department. We have opportunity to discuss them. And then we have 30 days, usually, and the commission likes to push that out so that we have more time. But we don't always, but a minimum of 30 days for the public to participate, let us know, and comment. And then we have a vote. In this case, all of the issues discussed will be on our agenda for approval in March.
All of the application period for the Deer Management Initiative ended at the end of January. Has there been any movement or notifications of people who might be serving on that initiative?
Yeah.
Both here in the upper and lower peninsulas?
As of yesterday, I was advised that the time frame for invitations has closed. That was completed on the 31st of January, and that the people who have been selected are being notified, and probably have already been notified. I have not got the list yet. I haven't got the list. But I do know that the door is closed on that.
So we're looking at, 22 in the Upper Peninsula? Is that what it was? Or
yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
But had how many applications?
Oh, hundreds of applications. Yeah. 1,500 or something like that. It was a lot of folks, so. And that's probably increased since I checked last.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you think that says about this initiative?
I think it's, I think it's good in the sense that you can't have an unruly group. We're trying to emulate other successful operations that have been done. You know, the Bear Forum is a good example. The Bear Forum put together a diverse group of bear hunters, and they got together and worked it out for themselves. And they did a very good job. They did a very good job because they worked with the department, so that if the department said that we have to be very careful about over here because the bears are there's more pressure on bear hunters mm-hmm. over here, we got to be careful. They listened. So I'm very, very pleased with the way that operation works. So the Deer Initiative is designed to bring in people from, in this instance, you'll have people who represent regions in the Upper Peninsula where the deer herd is very, very minimal due to factors such as heavy snowfall, hunters from areas where the deer migrate. And when the deer migrate, when you have a very small population of deer in your hunting area, but they migrate out, it means that if the does go into another area, they could be harvested, and then you don't get a lot of deer returning. You will have a very small herd the next year. So what we're trying to do is get those people in the room so they can identify areas where we need to be very conscientious about harvesting does, even though it might not be the most northern tier with all the snow. We also want to make sure that we have people who are interested in proper deer ratios so that, say, in Menominee County, harvesting does is not a problem. It's a lot of places in Delta County. So we want to make sure we get that expression in there also. The selection is being done by the department, not by the Natural Resources Commission. But we have been expressing our strong opinion that certain people be involved in that process.
I can't imagine that you're going to make everybody happy.
No.
In the choices here.
No. I do know that the department will be inviting folks from, like, the whitetails or organizations. They will be inviting people from the deer or the wildlife habitat management group, and that there will be a lot of individuals that will be selected for various reasons. Now, the Department of Natural Resources is also going to make sure that agricultural people are invited because they are required to do that. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I'm very eager to see what the list includes, and I'm hoping that I'll get that in the next few days.
All right. Do we know what's up next as far as the timeline? Because I know it's a really fast timeline here to get stuff done by June or May.
Yeah. The next thing is going to be basically an orientation to everybody, telling them, you know, here is the objective, the guidelines, the process, and the time frame, and then meetings will begin. And those first meetings will begin via Zoom type meeting. Mm-hmm. They'll be on computers, and they will define the first processes, and then in late April, I believe it is, or May. The time frame has not been presented to me yet. There will be in-person meetings.
Do you get to be a part of this process, or do you have to sit back and wait?
I am going to be invited as an observer.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason how this all works out is that, again, the Natural Resources Commission does not have a regulatory. We do have regulatory. We have the regulatory authority, but we don't have the management arm. We don't have any oversight over the management. And since this putting this effort together is a management thing, the department will do that. But since we were the ones who pushed them to do it, we had an understanding that from the beginning that we would be observers. We won't try to direct where this goes. This is a public process, and we will be there to observe, to see how things are going, to see why they're going that way. And quietly come away with it, with our impressions. And then the products, the recommendations from the DMI will be presented to us in late spring, early summer.
Well, I don't know if the snow is going to slow down your walks with your dog in the woods and scaring up those grouse, but if you scare up too many more, he's going to start to wonder why you don't get any.
We're past that.
Are you?
You know, the fun thing about hunting with dogs is that they're so interactive. They're a good dog. I'm devoted to my dogs like they're devoted to me. And a good hunting dog will let you know when you mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a look. Sometimes you'll get a real good look, but then they go on and do their business. But over the years, we have had a lot of laughs about the expectations dogs have of the people that they're hunting with. And when they do their job and you don't do yours, they will let you know.
That's right. Well, have fun walking in the woods. I appreciate your information on the meetings and coming in every month to talk about it. Dave Anthony is a member of the Michigan Natural Resources Commission. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at HometownEscanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.